I think for the last, 20-odd years, I've called Wales home. And it's been a nice place to live. My third assignment had us in Chester. And weekly, we would make the commute from Cardiff up through mid-Wales to the north. Reading Isaiah, the first thing that struck me was this stump that's spoken about a lot. And it took me back to the journey. If you were driving past Leominster and heading north on the A49, you would come to the next little village, which is called Ashton. And in behind a long, winding wall, there's a place called Berrington Hall. Behind the wall, but clearly visible from the road, there was a very, very large tree. Was it an oak or a sycamore? I'm not sure. But in the time that we were driving up and down, this went from being a large, tall, standing tree to one that had collapsed in a storm and become detached from its trunk in the ground. Going past there 4 or 5 years ago, something had happened, and it had gone from being a dead stump to actually a very healthy and very tall tree that was growing in its place. That reminder that out of stumps, good things can come to life once again. Isaiah chapter 11, 1 to 10 was written during the time of King Ahaz. He had reigned over Judah roughly between 735 and 715 BC. It was quite a period, an unsettling one for the people. During this time, the nation to which Isaiah was writing was immersed in pressure from the surrounding nations. The Israelites were in a shameful state. They were unstable, and foreign nations were applying pressure on them from what was an already weak kingdom. The people were fearful, doubtful. Judah's power was slipping away before their eyes. Understanding that fear and unrest, Isaiah speaks the words into that situation. The verses were designed to bring hope to the nation as they pointed to that greater covenant and plan that God would usher in his kingdom, despite whatever was happening in that time at that place. At the end of chapter 10, Isaiah gives a prophetic word. He depicts an enemy that will come up against Judah. In his time, Isaiah paints a picture of the Lord Almighty cutting down tall trees. The tall ones will be brought low. Commentators see these last two verses as a threat against Judah. Some note that it's the Assyrian army who's being depicted as advancing against this small Judah like a mighty forest. It's then that the Lord will act. He will cut down the Assyrians and make way for the restoration of Judah. So Isaiah 11, which we've heard this morning, follows up this image by beginning with the claim that new life will spring forth from an injured stump. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The image would have been relevant to those living in Ahab's reign and across numerous points in Israel's history. The text imagines a new beginning for Judah's monarchy. In this hopeful future, God's Spirit will alight upon the ruler, resulting in justice for the poor and fundamental reorderings of creation itself. Life emerging from death. This was the way of Israel's God. The expression of this new future is of a ruler on whom God's Spirit will rest. Promise comes to Israel in the form of a person, a human king who embodies the best of Israel's traditions. He's wise and understanding, powerful and effective in war, able to judge for the benefit of the poor, obedient to God, perfect. This king rules the world in such a way that the poor are treated righteously, the meek are given a fair hearing, and the wicked are disposed of. So glorious is the reign that he is literally clothed in righteousness and faithfulness. Verse 5 describes righteousness as a belt. In Near Eastern dress, many viewed the belt as the piece of clothing that kept everything together. It also signified that, in this case, they were preparing themselves for work. So the Messiah who is to come has an attitude of righteous judgment. He's ready for work on the behalf of those who are needy. Many believed that it was Solomon who was to be the fulfillment of this covenant. And yet he was the one who fell short of divine glory because of his lack of fear in the Lord. King's righteous reign reorders creation. Now that's a pretty tall order. Some can look after the poor, some can establish a just system of justice, but no ruler on earth can change the order of creation. Predators dwell in harmony with the prey. Instincts in animals and all order is transformed. The most vulnerable humans in society, children, are free to play with dangerous snakes. Nature's redness in tooth and claw comes to an end, and a harmony is established. This messianic ruler ushers in peace and harmony between everything. Nothing, no stone is left unturned. There's reconciliation that actually takes us back to the fall and changes it. Unity is restored between animal life and humanity. The peace between predatory animals and prey shows a lack of fear that's to be ushered in with this Messiah. In verse 8, Isaiah notes how the infant will play near the cobra's den. This verse relates to Genesis 3, which shows the serpent as being the one who tempts the fall between Adam and Eve and God. Child being safe near the serpent, and the serpent not feeling a need to attack, heralds a restoration of the order, highlights peace and harmony that is to come. But it doesn't just rest with Judah. This promise of a realm, of a leadership, and of a kingly, holy rule extends beyond Judah's borders to the whole world. A restoration of creation for the entire world. The coming king is to establish a kingdom over the world. Isaiah describes him as a banner for the peoples. People of all nations are to look to him. The heart for all nations we see in Jesus' ministry. First with the Great Commission in Matthew 28, discipling and baptizing all nations, expanding access to the Father from the nation of Israel to the ends of the earth. Jesus' ministry highlights the broader scope of the kingdom of the Messiah. Jesus healed and spoke to the Gentiles, those from a myriad of cultural backgrounds, such as the Samaritan woman, the Roman centurion, the healing of the Gadarene. The kingdom of God is demonstrated through the expansion of the promise of peace to all nations, everywhere, which is then further expanded and accomplished in the life and the death of Jesus Christ. In the midst of injustice against the Israelites, who were considered the needy and the poor of the earth, Isaiah is reminding them of God's promise to his people through that covenant, that there will be one who comes in righteousness to just and care for the people. In light of the total depravity and lack of hope in the face of their situation, hope for restoration that will come is something that must have lifted some of their spirits. He will slay the wicked, giving hope to a nation that is being oppressed and seeing such destruction, that once again they can be redirected towards hope and back to the promise of God that was made for them. God has come and made his glory known to those who are seeking him. Stump of Jesse, intentional because it reduces that dynasty to a mere stump, something that is hideous to look at, that seems devoid of life. The condition into which Christ was born, a mere man, a carpenter, not a king. Isaiah highlights the themes of this promise, the fulfillment of David's covenant through Jesus. Begins to mirror the ultimate hope with God that is restored in the life of Jesus, the branch. Jesus comes and will bear fruit for our salvation. Acknowledged by shepherds, angels, magi, he will bring days where righteousness flourishes, where hope is established beyond anyone's imagination, and remind us that we are never, ever forsaken. Jesus, the fulfillment of Isaiah's words. But there is still reconciliation to come. That ultimate reconciliation in creation and for humankind is not yet reached, because evil still flourishes. The poor and meek remain afflicted. Predators still continue to kill their prey. But we can be encouraged by this passage that although there is still animosity in this world, there will be ultimate restoration for the nations when Christ comes again. So for us, we continue to look to the prophetic words of Isaiah, not only for personal encouragement, but also as we strive to reflect in ourselves the ministry and life of Jesus as we see them in Isaiah 11. Let us pray. Lord God, our eyes have seen, and we know you to be God, and yet there is much that remains unseen. Pray that your might, your power, your love, and your kingly rule would be established in our lives, that we may speak your words, and we may be salt and light to those around us this Advent tide. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.